Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Thursday, November 17th, 2011. I'm your host, Greg Luca, and today I'm joined by a couple paladins. We have Tyler Jett.
Hey, how y'all doing? Before we get started, I just want to give a congratulations and a shout out to Alligator Sports Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw. Big season out of him. You'll expect your hardware in the mail soon, Clayton.
And we also have from fightinggators.com/florida.scout.com, we have Cody Jones.
Yeah, and the Alligator Sports Award for Manager of the Year goes to Joe Madden. Breaking news here on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm also giving out an Alligator Sports Award. Mine is the Alligator Sports Cy Young to Justin Verlander.
So we actually have two Cy Youngs if we just get one out to two different pitchers. However, it's not an NL-AL split. It's just who we think is the
best. No, it's just two, yeah.
That's how you do things in the Alligator Sports podcast. You just make them up.
We just start giving things away.
Yeah.
You guys also got t-shirts coming, too.
Yeah, we have to get back on the t-shirt grind. It's not really... It's been a while.
It's a train. It's not like grind as much as a train.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to speak.
That's a problem as a podcast host.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not very good at this, and this is why you hate me as a host, and you've been trying to get me replaced this whole time. But
it's been a coup d'etat in staging.
He's just happy there's only a couple more games left in the season.
I think we all are.
I think the Florida football team's happy there's only a couple games left in the season.
Right. With that in mind, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of where the bowl's going to end out this season, our speculation on that. Talk a little bit about this Furman game, as interesting as that is. Talk about some of the freshmen and how they've performed, a couple redshirts that get handed out. The future of Trey Burton, which is something everybody's interested in. And then, obviously, we're going to wrap it up with the Gator Guarantees. Before we get into all that, I'd like to remind listeners you can send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Anything you like or don't like about the show, anything you want us to do differently, just let us know. We're more than happy to accommodate you guys on that stuff. And I guess on that note...
Yeah, well, actually, first, I mean, we were running down things about what you can expect this podcast. You forgot the most important part, which is you get to hear Greg Luca do an Andre DeBose impression. Why don't you give the listeners a little taste of that, of what's to come?
Well, I mean, if I give it to them now, there's no way they're going to make it through the Furman preview.
Just show your general ability to do impressions. Okay. Daryl Hammond-esque.
Give me something to impression.
Charlie Weiss finding out there's no Thanksgiving Day. You just said there's no turkey.
You had to go there, huh?
Well, you said you could do it. Let's hear it.
Oh, hey, I'm Charlie Weiss. Oh, there's no turkey here. Oh, what the hell? Oh. This is terrible.
That's pretty great.
Ironically, sounds a lot like Andre DeBose, actually.
That's the one thing you guys probably don't get from interviews. You probably don't even know how Andre DeBose speaks, but he speaks just like Charlie Weiss.
Listen, so. It was mid-October before I even knew what Andre DeBose looked like, so,
yeah.
I mean...
For the listeners out there, I once made a statement that Andre DeBose looked just like Jeremy Maclin, which he does.
It's true,
right.
And then Greg goes, hold on, I need to see what he looks like. And so I pull up on Google, I'm like, all right, here's Jeremy Maclin.
It's like, no.
I know what Jeremy Maclin looks like. Who does Andre DeBose, the receiver on the team that I've covered for 3 months,
we don't get to see him
look like?
He's just out there with a helmet on the whole time.
Right.
How am I supposed to know?
I'm not dragging on you. It's just the general system of like media access. It wasn't until the Auburn game when I figured out what Marcus Roberson looked like, and he started on the team every game. And Auburn was mid-October also, so. I'm in the same boat as you are on that. It's just hilarious, in my opinion.
It's rough out there. The general way the media stuff works, because it was funny, this week we were sitting around waiting to do interviews, and at one point somebody suggested, like, wouldn't it be cool if you guys opened the locker room? And, like, that's a completely normal, request. It's a completely normal request and thing that happens in some places. But it was, like, literally laughable. Like, it was a complete joke.
Yeah, well, what happened was the sports information director made a joke of, like, do you guys even want to wait for this player that's supposed to be coming within the next 30 minutes? And we're like, yeah. He goes, because if you guys don't want to, I don't either. We can just go home. And then we're like, no, we'll wait.
We'll do our jobs, whatever.
Then, I mean, it was kind of hinted at, like, he didn't want to be waiting with us. Like, he didn't want to be spending this time waiting. And, like, you can make this a lot quicker by just opening the locker room for 20 minutes and just let us go and let our freak flags fly.
It's like, no. Who are you? Don't be serious,
Tyler. It's like a feeding frenzy. We'd be just looking around, who's hurt? All right. What's going on?
That'd be so much fun.
It'd be crazy. It'd be like a Thanksgiving buffet. I'm really excited about Thanksgiving next week.
Really came full circle with the Charlie Weiss impression, and then now it's like a Thanksgiving buffet. I like it. Perfect way to get the show started. All right, so Florida's playing Furman this weekend. The Paladins are coming to Gainesville, which is real exciting. Obviously, disappointing year. They're 5-5. Is there anything that Florida can do this weekend in this game that's actually going to, like, impress you and have you after the game thinking, wow, that was good? Or is it just, like, lost at this point?
If they gain 2,000 yards of total offense and put up more than 100 points, I will be impressed.
they literally have to do something, like, absolutely insane for you to not write after the game, like, well, they still suck.
Well, after the game, I'm not going to write whether they suck or not. If I'm writing about this game, I'm not really writing about this game. I'm writing about the FSU game in 2 weeks.
Right.
That's
right.
The only way they can salvage anything from the season is to somehow beat FSU. So I'm not writing about this game unless they put up Madden stats on steroids.
Yeah, 1,900 yards will not suffice.
No, 2,000 is the watershed mark.
Yeah, I agree. There's really nothing they can really do from this. We've seen it so many times this year. Even we thought it was going to happen in the Vanderbilt first half. They're just, you can out-athlete these teams. Jeff Dempsey is going to go crazy like he always does against these level teams. It's just kind of how things happen, and they'll have a blowout victory, and then who knows what will happen.
The only possible thing of note would be if they somehow lost this game.
That's true.
Right, but that's not on the table.
Right, well, it's probably more on the table than 2,000 yards of total offense.
Well, yeah, probably.
Greg, what percent chance do you think there is that Florida will have 2,000 yards total offense?
Like one?
Okay, what percent chance do you think it is that Florida would lose this game?
Like 0.5.
Okay, so you think it's more likely that they'll have 2,000 yards. What we're getting out of this is that Greg Luka thinks it's more likely that they'll have 2,000 yards of total offense than they will lose.
Yeah, because they're not going to let up. If you're getting beat down week after week, they're just going to go all out.
This is Muschamp getting out all of his frustration.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more likely they lose this game than put up 2,000 yards.
Yeah, obviously 2,000 yards would be kind of insane. I don't think that's actually possible. But, I mean, I can't see them losing this game either because they're such better athletes. And line came out today, I think 29.5-point favorites for Florida. Seems actually kind of low to me. Do you guys have a reaction to that?
Yeah, that is low considering they're playing the Paladins. What, can we talk about the Paladins instead? What does that mean?
They're the foremost warriors of Charlemagne's court. I Wikipedia'd it.
So is that like the thing that girl asked Muschamp if he was to Nick Saban?
There's a Padawan.
Oh, really?
It's close. That like the Padawans are the foremost warriors of the Jedi something. I don't know.
The Padawans are the Paladins of the Jedi Force?
Yeah, there you go. Something like that.
What was Charlemagne?
He was one of those rulers of the olden area things.
Yeah.
In like 800 or whatever the year was. He was important. He ran things. I don't know.
Where was he running things?
I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I just typed in Wikipedia and read the first line.
What a terrible mascot.
Paladin?
No, that's pretty great.
That's awful.
It's awesome.
Nobody even knows what that is.
That's why it's awesome.
It's like a knight, but it's not a knight because everybody else is the knights.
So what is their mascot going to be on the sideline? Do they have one?
It's probably a big knight guy.
Yeah, it's going to be a person.
Is it a costume or an actual person wearing
a
knight?
I hope it's a guy, like a guy with a legitimate sword.
That's always really embarrassing when you don't have your face covered as a mascot. I always feel bad for those people.
Yeah.
What about the Native American at Florida State?
Yeah, but he's got like makeup on and stuff.
You know, yeah, because then you're kind of hidden.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he wears like a helmet.
He'll wear something. He's not going to be a person.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Just a guy standing
like
there.
Like Tennessee and like Notre Dame and all those guys. Those are like just like students.
Yeah. But
West Virginia and stuff.
The West Virginia Mountaineers are kind of a joke.
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing.
Well, hold on. Like, what if this guy might be a direct descendant of a paladin? I don't know. What? Like, how are they doing this?
I mean, they could have some paladins who go to the school. I don't, like...
People who are actually paladins?
Who, like, their great-great-great-great-great, however long...
They're descendants of the paladin.
Yeah.
Okay. If they say that, they totally made that up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be awesome, though.
This is the most gripping discussion we can have about the Florida Furman game, by the way.
Yeah, really. I mean, but, like, 29.5 points, though. Low?
Yeah, no, it's definitely low for a team that are Division 1 AA, which we call the FBS team now.
I think FBS
FCS.
Or...
FCS, because they have a championship. They actually have a legitimate championship.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about Furman, but I don't think we really need to say it's still a low line.
I mean, is that just a result of just how terrible Florida's offense is, or are they just down on the team as a whole? Like, I mean, I don't see how you could not have Florida by 40, just because, you know, Demps and Rainey versus whoever is going to be out there for this team. I don't know, I just don't see them getting a stop at any point. I don't understand how it could be only 29.5.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how much action this game's getting in Vegas.
I have no idea. I mean, for whatever reason, they wait till Wednesday or Thursday to put out a lot of the FCS lines. So, I mean, something has to do with the fact that they probably don't know that well and aren't sure what way to go with it. But, I don't know, just 29.5 seems pretty low to me.
It has to be based off of Florida offensive struggles, I'd imagine, but... Even then, there is somewhat of a track record of like Demps and Rainey going crazy against these smaller teams that aren't as athletic as Florida. So I don't know. I feel like that would have to boost it up a little bit more than it is now.
Right. I mean, we all have Florida covering. Is that the idea I'm getting from this discussion?
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. So then I guess that's pretty much enough on Furman. To kind of move on to some of the stuff that's been going on this week, a lot of the talk is about what bowl Florida's going to end up in. And I know with the way the system works, Florida needs to beat Furman to get to 500, and that's pretty much a lock, as we just discussed. But the way it's looking right now is that there's the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which is the fifth selection from the SEC, the Gator Bowl, which is the sixth selection from the SEC, the Music City Bowl, which is the seventh selection from the SEC, and then the Liberty Bowl, which would be kind of the eighth selection. So, I mean, do you guys have any guesses where this is going to end up? Because I know that, I believe it was the Chick-fil-A Bowl's website, that they were looking at Florida, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. Do you guys have any guesses on how this is going to play out? Any predictions for me? Any way of determining more than just guessing?
The Chick-fil-A Bowl, it would be Auburn before Florida and Florida before Vanderbilt.
I agree.
Let's just run down the SEC team and say where were they ranked as far as bowl likelihood. Like LSU right now would be number one. Right. Alabama number two.
Right.
Then three would be...
South Carolina?
Arkansas?
Georgia before South Carolina.
Right.
Arkansas
yeah.
Would be three. And then four would be Georgia.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, then five would be Auburn or South Carolina.
I'd probably say five South Carolina, six Auburn.
Five South Carolina, six Auburn. So seven Florida.
Yeah, unless you wanted to, like, I mean, is there anybody else?
They don't necessarily go with that all the time. Like, sometimes it's just the fact that they think the fan base is going to travel better. Right. So maybe Florida gets picked fifth, and they're probably the seventh best bowl eligible team. But what would that be if they went seventh? That would be Gator Bowl.
If they went seventh, that would be Music City.
Music City Bowl is ideal.
It could be... Hold on a second. No, because the way I'm looking at it is because LSU is BCS 1, so then they'd actually be the... Eighth SEC team would be Music City, and seventh SEC team would be the Gator Bowl.
Okay, so probably Gator Bowl.
Right.
I feel pretty confident saying Gator Bowl is about as close to a lock as you can imagine at this point. Like, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but, like, it just seems to make so much sense. Atlanta, with the Chick-fil-A Bowl being in Atlanta and Auburn's right down the street, they're going to travel really well to that game, so that seems like a lock for them to take.
Do you think that... You think the fans are going to travel well for this bowl game, whatever it is?
Auburn fans to Atlanta. Okay. So, I mean, I feel like that makes sense. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours away. Then Jacksonville being an hour and a half from Gainesville at the most. I mean, that's a game that fans will travel to regardless. And it's a Florida game. I don't know. I just feel like it almost makes too much sense, and a lot more sense than it should at this point with as many bad teams as there's been.
Jacksonville's the worst.
I agree. Yeah, that's my reaction as well.
You guys aren't a fan of Jacksonville, place? We had a pretty pleasant game experience there.
Yeah, I just don't like...
I don't want to spend a week in Jacksonville just hanging out there. I don't think the fans do either.
Yeah.
I think the fans should be rooting for Florida to fall into the Music City Bowl.
I agree. Yeah, because Florida fans do it every year. Like, go to Jacksonville for a game. I don't know. I still feel like that's what will happen, just because there is such, like, a heavy Florida fan base there, and they know that Florida fans will travel to Jacksonville, but still, I don't think anybody should be hoping for that.
Is there any chance the Chick-fil-A Bowl would take Florida just because it's Florida and they're a big name, and in theory there's a lot of fans?
I think if they won out, there might be a chance to beat FSU.
I agree.
What's the Chick-fil-A Bowl? What pick do they have?
They would have the SEC fifth pick, which would actually be the sixth team in the SEC, because LSU is going to the title game.
Does it work like that, though? Like, if one team goes to the title game, does the other team, SEC 2 actually count as a C1?
Well, yeah, because if you have LSU in the title game, then, like, Alabama plays in the Sugar Bowl, and then it just goes down from there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if they won out, they could slide up to 6, which would be good enough for Chick-fil-A Bowl. I can see that. And obviously, Florida's got a good fan base, so that would also be a play. But they'd have to win out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. But do you guys think that do you think they're wrong to consider the fan base as one that's going to travel for this game? Or, like, are people out of it at this point? Or
will travel no matter what.
They'll sell all the Florida tickets for the bowl game?
Especially, that'd be New Year's Eve in Atlanta. I mean, there's a lot of attractive parts of that outside of the game itself.
That's fair. What do you guys think about this weekend, though? Because everything I've heard is that people are not trying to go to this Furman game. Everything sell in terms of what people are trying to do to get rid of their tickets. It's going for face value, which is rare.
Yeah. I mean, we saw what the Vandy beginning of the game was like. That was really bad. And it actually did fill up a little bit, but still, there was not anywhere close. I'd imagine this would probably be worse, being that it's a non-conference opponent and still an early kickoff. So, I don't know. I don't have high expectations at all.
Yeah.
The official attendance will be in the 90,000s.
That's true.
The actual attendance will probably be between 75,000 and 80,000. That's my prediction.
I mean, it sounds fair to me. I have a hard time believing they're going to fill it up, and it's probably going to be one of those things where, you know, at kickoff or, you know, a couple minutes before, it's like half empty and everybody kind of flips out, and then by the end of the game, it might fill in a little bit towards where, at least where they were for Appalachian State last year, which was not a great turnout, but it wasn't completely empty. A couple things that were kind of discussed this week on the newsy front. In terms of the freshmen, there, Muschamp announced some red shirts. Juwan Story is going to redshirt. Four-star wide receiver Trip Thurman and Tommy Jordan, offensive linemen, are going to redshirt. They both had shoulder surgery early in the year. And then he left the door open for...
Valda Showers also, he named in that group.
Oh, okay, yeah, I forgot about him. And then he left the door open for Clay Burton and Tevin Westbrook as well, so... Aside from me just reading those off so the listeners know, do you guys have any take on any of those guys? I know we haven't gotten to see them play, which is a big reason that there is a red shirt involved, but... Yeah. Especially with the depth on the offensive line being what it is, does either of those two guys seem like people who could be significant contributors next year or going forward, given the tackle situation being what it is?
The two offensive linemen? I mean, I guess. We haven't seen anything, so it's hard to go on. But right. Anybody, just having more guys out there would be good for a competition perspective. Maybe they step up and they take a spot from Xavier Nixon. We don't really know. I guess Juwan Story would be the surprising one, the guy who never really panned out for the season just because he's a big wide receiver, a guy everyone was really excited about, a guy who Florida fans weren't sure if he was going to stick with his Florida commitment after Urban Meyer retired, and it became a thing like him versus Ohio State, and when Juwan Story picked Florida, a lot of people were really excited about that, and obviously nothing's really happened from that this season.
Yeah, I don't think that's too big of a surprise, though. He played quarterback most of the time in high school, so...
Yeah, he was every other wide receiver, though. What did Sammy Watkins play in high school?
I have no idea. I think receiver.
Do you think he did play receiver?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we'll look that up later, but I'd be kind of surprised.
But I think Story was a full-time quarterback, and that was understood that he was going to be a project when he came into school. So I don't think that's too huge of a surprise, but I don't know. He's definitely got the body that not a lot of guys at the receiver position on this team have.
Right, and then I guess the other two guys we mentioned, Clay Burton and Tevin Westbrook, those two we don't know anything about, but it's kind of a thing where Muschamp's kind of claiming injuries, and then I think it's become kind of common in college football where if a freshman doesn't play most of the year, injuries are either exaggerated or fabricated. Am I just imagining that, or is that something that's actually kind of going on in the college football landscape?
That's true, but Clay Burton and Tevin Westbrook haven't played since the second game of the year, and you can play in the first couple of games and still get a red shirt.
Right.
So, I don't even know if he needs a medical red shirt.
Is it what, the first three and a third games or something? It's something some ridiculous number like that. Yeah. So, I think I actually kind of like Westbrook a little bit. I think he'll be a fairly decent player in his career, but I don't know. We'll see. It's more defensive line depth that they could certainly use.
While we're on the freshman class, another bit of news this week. Marcus Roberson's going to be out for the rest of the year, so his freshman season is done. And I think it was kind of an up-and-down year for him. At times we thought he was very good, and at other times we thought he got exposed, but... At the end of the year, because now we've seen everything we're going to see on him at this point, where do you stand on him going forward into next season?
All things considered, I liked him a lot. I think he's a bigger cornerback. I think he did pretty good in some pretty big tests. I think there's a lot to like about him, in my opinion. I think he's a guy who could be your starting corner for three more years if he stays all 4 years. He's a guy who limited Elston Jeffrey to 2 catches on 19 yards. And watching that game, I didn't necessarily notice that Florida was doing too much to double cover him. Jeffrey, it didn't seem like it. Like, every once in a while, you see Evans kind of rotate a little bit over Jeffrey's general direction, but it didn't look like they were making a plan if we're going to put two guys on Alshon Jeffrey. It looked like, for the most part, it was just Marcus Roberson on Jeffrey, and he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, weird situation there with Jeffrey all season. But, yeah, I really like what Roberson did all year. He did kind of have some rough spots, but he does have that size. I think Muschamp kind of wants those taller corners, which is why they put the full court press on him last year to try and get him in this class, basically selling him on the fact that he would have a good shot to start. So I think another reason we've seen that is you see Jalen Watkins get playing time over Cody Riggs so far. They really like those taller cornerbacks, and Roberson certainly seems to be a guy who can be your number one corner for at least the next 2 years.
Right. There were plays where he got beat, but that's going to happen to anybody, and especially as a freshman, I think there's a lot of room for him to grow and develop. And, when we talk about the freshmen, the spotlight all year has been on Jeff Driscoll and Jacoby Brissett, and we've talked that to death for the most part. Looks like Brissett's kind of ahead right now, but it's apparently competition's going to reopen in the offseason, and it remains to be seen if somebody's going to transfer or who plays this weekend and how that affects things. But I want to talk about some of the other freshmen we haven't touched on as much. Guys like A.C. Leonard, he's started in 2 games, has played sparingly, he dealt with some injuries. Guys like,
I'd say Hunter Joyer has been the best freshman in the group this year.
I was going to say Hunter Joyer is one we can talk about, and Deontay Saunders. Is Hunter Joyer your favorite of the freshman group so far?
For sure, yeah. He's made a lot of good plays downfield. I've seen him get some good blocks downfield as a freshman. He stepped in nicely. He's a fullback of the future, which I don't, generally speaking, want to be a big deal. But in this offense, you're going to have a lead blocker out there, and I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't understand why he hasn't got more touches, though. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Talk about red zone struggles, and he looked great doing it in the Tennessee game, I think it was, and the second game of the season as well. But they've talked about how they really need that power running threat, and they don't have one on this team. I don't really buy that excuse, being that we've seen Joyer look pretty good, especially on his limited carry. So it, I don't know. It just seems, it makes sense to me that they would do that. And Weiss even said that, I believe, a couple weeks ago, that if you featured him as a, he called it a ground and pound type running back, that he would be able to at least get 3-4 yards of carry for you. So, but yeah, I really like what we've seen out of him so far. He looks like he's a guy that, that has a bright future for him.
Right. And when he gets the ball, he's the definition of that kind of downhill running back, one of the bigger guys. And if he's not going to break away speed and he's not going to juke people out and find holes all the time, but he's at least going to fall forward when he gets hit. And that's all you're really asking for a lot of the time from this unit. But the thing is, when we're looking at the freshman class and the guy that sticks out is the fullback who played like half the snaps, is this worry you guys in terms of where this class is? Because a lot of people are looking to the future of this program and there's not a ton of seniors. So it's kind of, people are kind of taking for granted that it's a bright future and everybody's going to get better. But given the way the freshman class has performed, is this encouraging to you? Do you think this is a good enough class that the future is bright, or are we worried about this group? Because, you know, like we said, the fullback is the best guy.
I think there's definitely a transition class, but I think it's like a it's a typical one in that. You look at the transition class from Zook to Meyer, I believe there's a couple guys in there, Reggie Nelson, and I think Derek Harvey was in that class too. But past that, it was full of a bunch of guys that they just missed on. The thing that, that Meyer did, though, is he capitalized the next year and had a huge recruiting class. I believe that was the Tebow, Harvin, Spikes class there. So the issue, I think, is that Muschamp has to capitalize off it now and bring a good recruiting class afterwards. Because you can be okay with one recruiting class only getting a couple players out of. But if you do it a couple years in a row, that's when you start having some serious issues.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You just don't, you're not worried, really?
I mean,
it's just, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great class, but it's an okay class. I don't think long-term, whether Florida is good or not, will be predicated on this class.
Alright, I can agree with you guys on that point. We are yet to see how some of the redshirt guys will work out, and if there's other contributors in there that just haven't stepped up yet. Another item on the news front so far this week, Trey Burton is apparently, after the season, going to be moved to more of a primarily running back, fullback role instead of this jack-of-all-trades with the tight end stuff and the wide receiver stuff. Do you think it's a good idea to kind of, you know, put him in one definitive role and is running back the spot for him based on what we've seen so far?
It's a good idea to get him in one role, I guess, and see if he can actually be a, really a player in one role. Obviously, Charlie Weiss used the phrase, jack of all trades, master of none, and that's perfect for Trey Burton. He's not really good at anything, but he's okay at everything. And so I think it's a good idea to see, can he become a steady contributor at one position? Where do I think that would work best? Where did they say fullback is what they're thinking?
They said, like, he said it was weird because he said we're going to put him at one position, and then he said running back and fullback. So I guess he's going to have a shot at both. But they, one thing Weiss talked about was with Dempsey Rainey out of the picture, there's going to be an opening at running back per se.
I can't see him being a running
back. Yeah, I can't either. That's my thing. Like, I'm trying to think of what his best position would be. I can't come up with what that is. Like, I don't know.
Last year, Muschamp, or there was those rumors circulating from players even, that Trey had been told by the coaching staff that he was going to be a safety.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Year. Oh, right.
And
I forgot
that
about
never
that.
Never happened for some reason. Like, Weiss, I guess, was like, no, we need to get this guy on offense. But well, I would see him throwing him in safety and see what
yeah.
he can do there.
I'm okay with
best
that.
For him on the defense side of the ball. I don't look at him as a dynamic playmaker. He can't shake anyone, really.
Right.
He gets the ball and he runs as far as he can in open space and gets tackled. He's not particularly fast. I see it as a better fit without the ball in his hands.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking mostly from the offensive perspective, but I think that's a good idea because he does – I think the reason they like him so much on offense is because he understands the game and it comes easy to him. But when you don't have any dynamic athletic ability like that to make people miss or to run by people, that can only do so much for you. So I think that safety is not a bad move for him. You throw him back there next season with maybe alongside Elam and just kind of – see what happens.
Yeah, also, safety's the position on defense where I feel like you need to have a really good sense of intelligence, and you have to have a good grasp on a lot of different things, and your football IQ, quote-unquote, is more important at safety than most positions on defense, I would say, so it would work to put him there.
Yeah, that makes sense, too.
Right, I can get on board with that. I think he's been okay as kind of a pass-catching fullback, but he's not a running back, and he's not a tight end, and he's for sure not a wide receiver. So
he's probably not a quarterback, either.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I didn't even mention that. That's way off.
Is he an offensive lineman?
That's probably why he's going to be a quarterback next year.
Yeah, put him at tackle instead of Xavier Nixon. You can't get much worse there. But, yeah,
hey.
If defense can work out for him, then why not go for that? Last bit of kind of new stuff to discuss. I think it's been kind of floating around that Urban Meyer was in the market for a coaching job next year. Apparently turned down Arizona. Does this come as a surprise to anybody that he's this quick to get back in the saddle, so to speak?
I don't think so. I mean, he was asked about it from the minute he stepped down last year, and he was really quick to dodge the question and everything like that. I feel like that kind of answered the question in itself. I don't think this is a big surprise at all.
Yeah, and last year when Will Muschamp got hired, one reporter, I can't remember which one, asked Jeremy Foley if he would be surprised to see Meyer coaching again, and Foley said, of course not, and then, would you be offended if he came back and coached another team until 12, taking just 1 year off? And Foley said no, but it seemed like Foley would not be surprised if Urban came back next year. And I think players aren't really that surprised. We asked Omar Hunter about it this week, and he said, yeah, that guy just can't stay away from the game. You know that he's not going to be able to. I don't remember if anyone ever read the SL Price profile on Urban in Sports Illustrated a couple of years ago, but it kind of just detailed just how insanely intense he is about football. And, a guy like that who feels the way that Urban feels about football can't be away from football from that long. And being a color commentator just not going to fill that void.
Right, you think about the broadcast stuff, he couldn't even stay away a whole season. He's right back in there, at least talking about football and being around football programs. So I think it's only natural, but if you're a Florida player, isn't that a little, kind of disturbing to say that this guy left for family reasons and it had nothing to do with you or the school, and now all of a sudden after 1 year, the family reasons are gone and he's right back in the coaching thing, isn't that?
Yeah, Omar did not seem at all offended by it when we asked him about it, but I don't think he's necessarily representative of the football team as a whole. Omar does seem to be overall a pretty positive person.
Right.
And so I think, if I'm a player, especially an underclassman who got recruited by him, a member of that 2010 class of Ronald Powell, Dominic Easley, whatever, I'd be a little bit offended by Urban leaving. Now, having said that, obviously I shouldn't use Dominic as an example because he did not get along with that coaching staff. And I say overall, though, if you're one of those freshmen or sophomores and you've got a couple more years left of college and you came to play for one of the greatest college football coaches ever, pound for pound, as far as he only coached for a couple of years, but when he coached, he was in the hunt for national championship out of 3 out of 5 seasons. So that's a damn good coach, and you wanted to play for him, and he left, and now he's going somewhere else. I'd be sitting there, especially if you don't get results with Muschamp the next couple of years. You'd be real disappointed because you only get 4 years of college football.
That's what's going to be interesting is if Muschamp starts to struggle a little bit and Urban maybe takes a program at Ohio State and turns it around really fast or something like that.
Penn State.
Yeah, or Penn State. That's true, too. I think that would get really interesting on that angle if he starts having success and this program starts to maybe even stay where it's at now.
Well, what if this, and I don't think this would happen, but if Urban decided to get another job in the SEC, a la Spurrier,
yikes.
Like, it went Ole Miss.
I mean, that would be weird.
I don't think
no
it's
way.
Happen,
yeah.
Don't even worry about whether it would happen. Yeah. Think about, theoretically, if that did happen, how crazy would that
be? Would it be weirder than Spurrier, though?
I don't know.
Spurrier was here for 10 years, or however long it was, somewhere around there.
But
so
Spurrier, it never felt like Spurrier just, left Florida. He went to the pros. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Spurrier situation felt differently than the
situation. That's a good
point. Urban was it wasn't that he wanted to move on and try out the NFL or anything like that. Urban just said he just wasn't healthy enough. He could not coach Florida anymore. And then a year later, he goes and coaches somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's a little Spurrier seemed pretty upfront about everything. Urban doesn't seem like that.
Right. It would definitely be interesting to see him land somewhere else in the SEC. And it's there's not any openings that are kind of Urban Meyer worthy at this point.
Maybe
but
Greg was pretty great. Ole Miss.
Yeah. I just don't see it.
Yeah,
but
like Greg said, not a whole
certainly just from the standpoint of how the players would react and how the other coaches would react and how it would be viewed in terms of Urban Meyer success versus the success here at Florida with Will Muschamp would be interesting. But obviously it has no effect on this team right now, but at least it's interesting. I thought it might be worth talking about. All right, we're about ready to wrap up the show with our Gator guarantees. We're going to recap last week's and then get into what we got for the Furman game. Tyler, go ahead, start us off.
Recap last week's. I guarantee that Florida's rushing offense would have less than 30 yards. And they ended up with 142, so I was wrong by a little bit.
Just slightly.
More than the length of a football field.
Oh,
I will say that.
You whiffed on that one.
Yeah. So
better luck next time.
Bad by me. This week, my Gator guarantee will be, we kind of touched on it earlier, Florida will not gain 2,000 yards total offense.
Stop it. No. I'm not accepting that as a Gator guarantee.
I'm just saying, okay, well, I'm trying to make it topical. Okay. My guarantee is that Dominic Easley takes more snaps at quarterback, or just as many snaps at quarterback, as Jeff Driscoll does.
Really? Why don't you think Driscoll's going to play?
I do think Driscoll's going to play. I don't know why I guaranteed that. I don't have a really good guarantee for this game. Look at you looking at me like, what the heck?
We paused the show so we could think of guarantees.
And this is
what you come back with?
I was really busy not thinking of guarantees.
Don't give away the editing secrets, Greg. Yeah. We do this all at once.
Yeah, this is all continuous. Okay, well, let me just think about it here. Or we can move on to Cody.
While we stall, quarterback snaps this weekend, any guesses? I mean, Brantley starts for sure, and then he plays, what, till halftime maybe? Till they're up 40?
Yeah, he plays till halftime, and then Brissett gets in, plays at least through the end of the third quarter.
And then Driscoll plays the fourth?
Driscoll gets the garbage time at the garbage time.
I think Brissett plays the whole second half.
I don't think Driscoll
plays.
That could be your guarantee.
No, I got a better one.
Okay, well, now I'm going to guarantee that Driscoll does play.
These are the worst guarantees.
How's this a bad guarantee?
You're 0-3 right now.
Because that's, like, really easy to guarantee.
No, it's not. Because he thinks it's the opposite of that.
That's, like, a favorite to happen. Guarantees have to be long shots.
That's a favorite to happen?
Yeah. There's a better than 50% chance Driscoll plays this
weekend. The third string quarterback gets in? Okay. Why don't you move on to Cody and come back to me?
Because, no, I gave you all this time to get ready.
Now we're just expecting you to have something. Now everyone's sitting there just waiting for something to happen.
This is
going to
be the shortest show of all time, so people aren't going to... It's not going to matter.
They turned it off a long time ago, all
right? People in their cars right now are really upset because they're just driving, waiting for some information, and they're not getting any because I don't have a guarantee.
Well, we're waiting on you. All right, you know what, Cody? Go ahead. You can recap last week's, and then you guarantee something.
Well, last week, I said that Alshon Jeffrey would go for 200 yards receiving. To be fair, I was only off by 183.
Right. You almost had it.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it that way, I was kind of close, actually.
If he just had, like, a 99-yard catch and then, like, another one, you would have got it.
Right. You're exactly right. So, he had 17 yards. Man, I was really close, though. So, anyway, this week, I'm going to take Jeff Demps to rush for 250 yards.
So when we come back in and he's got like 12.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Assuming he stays healthy. I feel like I have to throw that out there too because he's always good to get injured by getting tackled by the kicker or something like that.
Yeah, so. You never know. All right. Last week I had Melvin Ingram and Jadeveon Clowney combining for 6 sacks. And they combined for 1, but they had 3 sacks in total, so almost made an impact in the sack game. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I tried my best. And my guarantee for this week... I think a fight's going to break out because I think UF is going to go and they're going to win by like 60, but they're just not going to stop talking the whole game.
That's a good point.
And then Furman's going to be like, you guys are 5-5, you suck. And then they're going to be like, well, we're clowning you. And then after like an hour of that, they're just going to start throwing blows. And Tyler's boy Easley will probably be in the middle of it.
Yeah, I like that you're imagining what these conversations are like on the field and that's how they talk.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's
you're
like.
You're 5-5.
What do you think it sounds like, Mr. Football Player?
I'm not going to say what it sounds like from the air.
Well, censor it.
No, and you're not going to censor it.
I've watched NFL films. I know what it sounds like.
No, you don't. All right, my guarantee. I don't know what's going on. My guarantee is...
You haven't played college football. I don't want to hear it.
I know how people talk, though.
I know how people talk. I live in the world.
Clearly you don't.
If I was out there, listen.
People talk on like Xbox Live.
Omar Hunter said if I was out there, Dominique Easley would talk trash to me. So I have an idea of how this would go.
Yeah,
I'm in this situation.
No, you're not in this situation because you actually weren't. Like Dominique Easley, you weren't out there. Dominique Easley didn't talk trash to you.
But it would happen, so I know.
You don't know because of that. That makes no sense.
You know what? Somebody's gonna say that they're getting clowned. I'm just saying.
Don't say
the
that.
Word clowned will be used. Are That's my gator guarantee.
Pwned also?
No. Clowned is good.
Clowned's good?
No, like, clowned is a thing that people say.
No. Oh my Do you say clowned?
No.
See?
If you were a football player, would you say clowned?
That's a ridiculous question. I have no idea.
No.
I'm just trying to stall so you can guarantee something. Are we there yet?
You want to shut up about your trash talk.
See, I'm...
Are you going to talk about this?
No, go.
Trash
no,
talk?
Go. You can go.
I want to hear you. You're talking some real
No,
trash?
Clearly I have no idea how it works, right, okay, so you just go. All
right, my guarantee is that Andre DeBose will have more than 120 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, I'm sorry. 120 and 2 touchdowns?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, why not?
You got some trash to talk?
No, it wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah. All right, well, then put your Xbox Live headset
he's
on.
Gonna
pretend like you're talking to
he's
going to
score, and then it's going to be like, we're clowning you with my return game, and I got 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, so suck on that.
Is that Andre DeBose accent?
Yeah, that's exactly what he sounds like.
More.
No. All right,
this is Andre DeBose.
I don't do things on command.
You just did.
No.
You should do it.
The what? People want to hear you do your Andre DeBose accent again.
No.
It's, you guys suck. I'm Andre DeBose. You're Furman. We're going to win by 70. That's exactly what it sounds like.
To be fair, Greg never met a black person before he came to college.
That's not true either.
He's from Connecticut.
You guys are so... Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I just don't even know what to say to that.
Well, yeah, this show got out of hand in a hurry. That's, I mean, Furman. Anyway, I guess that about does it for this week. Send any feedback on all that to podcast@alligator.org. I'm sure we're going to get some great stuff there. As always, you can find us on Twitter @AlligatorSports. I'm @GregLuke. Tyler, where are you?
Tyler, _Jet.
Cody, where are you? And then talk about what's going on at your site there that I can't remember the name of. It's Scout, right?
Yes.
Scout. You're the Scout one. Fighting Gators.
C. Jones Scout on Twitter. Yeah, fightinggators.com, florida.scout.com is the better way to go about it, not having to figure out how many G's are in that. So it's football, basketball, baseball coverage, message board aspect, and then a whole bunch of recruiting stuff, which is starting to get a little bit more exciting with National Sign Day in February. So
yeah, we're only like 3 months away. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, and 3 months away from baseball season, too. So
there you go.
Yep, that's all that's going on there.
All right, y'all can also subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on Facebook.com/AlligatorPodcast. We will, hopefully I'll be doing something tomorrow with John Booth, basketball writer, and maybe one or two other special guests to break down what's been going on with the basketball season so far. Didn't want to talk about that today, what with the game Thursday night, and we're doing this on a Thursday, and with Mr. Booth not able to make it in this afternoon. So we'll figure that out tomorrow, and I guess we'll see you then. We'll also be back with a recap show on Monday. And then hopefully these guys will be back in here next Thursday to preview FSU.
Yeah,
so.
See you here on Thursday.
No, that's not going to happen.
Should have a special Thanksgiving edition. We could do one like on a Tuesday.
Yeah, why not? We'll figure something out. Anyway, we'll talk about this, and then hopefully either tomorrow or Monday we'll give you the update on the rest of the week. So I guess have a happy Thanksgiving otherwise if these guys don't get back. But we'll see you tomorrow, and thanks for listening. Lean grind.